10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
It's unbelievable what I've got for you tonight. You and I are going to talk about the horniest movie ever made, and Timothée Chalamet, who, if he isn't gay, and what else? Walmart, strippers on the loose, Thea Landon will read you a dirty book. This show has every damn thing you've ever fantasized about when you're alone in the car on a Sunday night. Now, Dr. Dave Weather.
More news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
I'm sitting here waiting for my group to get called before I board. Very demure. I'm being respectful. I'm being mindful. I'm not taking up unnecessary space. We're all getting on the same plane and taking off at the same time. It's very demure.
I took off the first week of my 10-year career last week, and a variety of incredibly skilled guest stars helped me, including Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel, who's one of the most skilled program directors and hosts in American radio, and a key to the production of this very successful network radio show. And let's review which stations were smart enough to take this show day one. Paul Vandenberg in Albany, Michael Ewing, who controls all of Central Florida. He controls the trade. He controls legal trade throughout Florida, which is slim, but he controls all the legal trade throughout Florida. Steve Moore at KMOX, Bill White at KFBK, whoever's running KFBK, who's ever running KDKA, Bill Wright runs KFBK. Let's be very clear about that. And my buddy, Greg Stocker, who runs WPHT, affiliate number one. And this is just a handful of the stations that were smart enough to say, you know what, we really should take this show day one. And then in Little Rock, Arkansas, Peter Thiel was the program director. And now he's the guest star of Sterling every damn night. Peter Thiel, welcome to the big microphone. Welcome to the big sticks. This is as close to size as you're ever going to get.
Well, thank you very much, Walter. I am really concerned. You know, I'm divorced. I'm trying to meet new women, and I heard that if you just hand random women a slice of cheese, that you will enchant them and fascinate them. So I've been doing this a while. I've been just hanging out at the mall. You know, it's going to like street fairs and stuff like that, and just handing out random cheese to random women that I believe are single. It doesn't work. They all look at me funny unless I am handing out the wrong cheese.
Is it Lindberger?
No, I'm usually handing out an artisan Gouda.
Handcrafted?
Handcrafted, and with a couple of different varieties, one that, you know, has like dill in it. And I, from everything I understand about women, you know, you can put dill on almost anything and they love it.
Have you ever tried to eat dill off a woman in one of those fancy sushi houses?
I have not. That's a little bit out of my pay grade, but I love the sushi, and I, you know, dill, my mom would put fresh dill on cucumbers with white vinegar. When I was a kid, that was nice.
Some executives with small penises made it impossible for you to be employed. You are currently unhired, and there's no excuse for that. Mike McVeigh, a far more clever entrepreneur than myself, although not as good a programmer, but close as myself. We were sitting there at lunch with you, on the west side of Cleveland. I don't know what we did wrong to be on the west side of Cleveland, but there we were. It was the west side, not the east side, or as Mike Trevisano used to refer to the west side as white flight. People who lived there, it was white flight. I loved Mike Trevisano. And there we were sitting in a diner that had never heard of lox or smoked salmon because it was the west side. And we were looking at you, and we both had the same gut instinct at the same second, which is, how could you be out of work? You can't be out of work, Peter Thiel. That is impossible. Here's a program director who handles it, gets it done. Who is the name of the general manager in New York, Sullivan? What's his first name?
O'Neill, Sean O'Neill.
Of course, Sullivan. Sullivan O'Neill. Sean Sullivan O'Neill. Sean O'Neill. I said to him, I said, is Peter a good program director for you? This was in New York City, the number one market. And he says, I love Peter. I can always reach him. That to me is the sign of a great executive, that he's not hiding. I can reach him. And then he got back on the phone with Curtis Sliwa. But the fact is that you're a great talent. Great voiceover talent, a smooth and skilled executive who's worked the big cities, worked for the big companies like the Hubbards. You know, the Hubbards of Minneapolis, a humorless group of people. They can hire anybody, but they hired you, and you were with them for a long time. And I just don't get it. Now, I believe that by the end, by a week from today, you'll be able to call in and say, Walter Sterling, I got a job. I believe you'll get a job because it's insane that you are unhired. Now, maybe after the cheese, and I think it could just be the type of cheese, because I read the same article too, that there were these French guys who said, anytime I just give women a piece of cheese, they're mine. But I think that's usually followed with coffee.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, that amazing My Coffee, Mike Lindell, holy capoli, what can't he do? Pillows, sheets, towels, coffee.
I was shocked when I went to the MyPillow website and saw the off-brand coffee. I'm like, that's not on brand. What? And but then I saw on the package that it showed a picture of Mike Lindell with a flag. Two things you don't associate with coffee. There's Mike Lindell with a flag, an American flag, smiling. And it said this was great coffee. I'm like, okay. And I ordered the coffee. I was stunned. I couldn't believe it. I drink coffee all the time. I'm in radio. By law, I have to drink black coffee. Therefore, I'm very discriminatory. And it was fantastic. It was absolutely fantastic. And this is not a paid commercial.
When I was filling in for you in the Philadelphia show the other day, I was, I brewed myself up a pot and was just, gulping it down because that's awfully late for me. I'm a former morning guy. I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I can't sleep past that. And that was just amazing. The aroma throughout the house. Holy capoli. It was my coffee machine. It was just, people need to study what he does with coffee. It's just amazing.
Well, I agree with you. And this is not a commercial. They're not paying for this time. They didn't ask for this time. There's no quid pro quo. I just mean it. This is known as earned media. That's the social media term, isn't it, Peter?
Exactly correct. And, and you wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. I wouldn't go on and on about this wonderful coffee. I used to drink different types of domestic fare of coffee, and I'm just blown away. I mean, it is holy capoli. I'll never get another type of coffee again.
All right, that's Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel is a skilled broadcaster, is a great program director, a constant supporter of Sterling every damn night. He has been on the show later, you'll be able to see if you can identify his voice deep in production using a different name. See if you can identify his voice. But he's been my dearest friend in broadcasting, and He's had some health issues. He's come through them. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for the universe. The coffee is at mypillow.com. You got to enter the, if you want the right price, you got to enter the promo code Walter. Enter the name Walter. There are two reasons to do that. One, you'll get the price you deserve. And two, my kids will get to stay in college. Peter Thiel, all the best this week. You're going to get that job, Peter. I can't believe you were unhired by amateurs with small penises. Hopefully that'll never happen again, my friend. All right, this is Sterling every damn night. Oh, my gosh. Sound effects. ASMR. ASMR. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
Hundreds of pretty girls and three ugly ones. Club shut down. Strippers on the loose. Later. Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share some stories of rubbing elbows with some famous celebrities during my time with the New York City Police Department. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We have 8 kids, and it's back to school.
And we don't care.
We'll tell you why coming up on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Larry David.
None of your business. How about that?
See the size of my comb? Very cutesy, very demure, very mindful of my 75 soft. You see how I eat my cone? Very demure, very cutesy, very demurety, if you will. I'm not like you other girls. I don't do too much.
Hi, I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
With tales of living in our very old house with 8 kids.
8 kids who happen to have all been homeschooled or are currently being homeschooled, or as I like to call it, unschooled.
Best decision of our life was to leave government schools, public school, and homeschool. It's been tremendous.
And I don't want to put a shadow on the beautiful work that teachers do. I've had wonderful teachers that I love. I just don't necessarily like the institution of taking our kids, making them compete with each other all the time, overworking them, and telling them that they're nothing if they're not exactly what that school system wants them to be.
And they get fed all of the government's idea of what they should learn. There's that aspect
right.
as well.
Obviously, I agree with that. Like, we can teach them what we want them to learn and what we want them to know and how we want them to think for themselves. And I think that's the biggest thing, wanting our kids to think for themselves, to know how they learn, to know what they like to learn, to know the direction they want to go and go in that direction, not to feel like they have to be playing soccer, also in the choir, participating in the school play, and the captain of the cheerleading squad all at the same time. It's too much.
And here's a hot take. I think kids are in public school way too many hours a day.
Right.
Like,
I agree.
It seems
with
like
that.
A long day to learn what you need to learn. Could probably be done in a couple of hours.
I think that it can be done in a couple of hours, but I think that the whole thing is, like, if we can. Okay, pardon me. Everyone's going to hate me for this, but we feel like if we can push our kids off for 8 hours, we can get those 8 hours of work in, and then we can have more money for the vacation that we need to go on, which we're going to go on and not know how to deal with our kids or want to deal with our kids or even be with our kids at the end of that, because that's the most time we've ever spent with our kids in our whole lives.
You're saying that the school day is long for reasons of giving parents a break.
I believe so.
Well, we like being with our kids. It's not easy all the time, but again, it has been the best decision, I think, for the kids.
So I'm going to say this to everyone who's out there. You have to look at your kids and look at yourselves and see what you want to do for yourselves and your children. See what your kids want to learn, and if that's being in public school is perfect for them. They're going to learn everything that they want, and they're going to want to compete and be at the top of their game and never sleep. Go for it. Otherwise, bring them home.
Follow me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
If you want to find me, I'm on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
Dan and Becky for Sterling Every Damn Night.
Yes, the Gaffneys. We love the Gaffneys. 26 past the hour. You and I are driving across the country on 80, 90. This is the best time of day. the best time of day to be on the road. I love it. On I-4 in Florida, driving past Michael Ewing's home, wave to Michael Ewing. He controls Central Florida. And there's Paul Vandenberg at I-90 in Albany, the most talented man on the entire affiliate lineup, because he does morning drive in Albany, New York, against a really boring, old-fashioned hack radio station, and he owns the radio station. Paul Vandenberg owns the radio station. Now, Paul, if you're smart, and you are, you'll yank this piece of audio, and you'll use it in a promo forever. Paul Vandenberg, smartest affiliate on Sterling every damn night, every damn Sunday. Smartest affiliate. He owns the station, and he does morning drive. There you go, Paul. I gave it to you clean. You can easily cut it out. Even like one of your interns could cut it out. Without any, you don't have any interns, it's time. I don't care about that stupid law in the state of New York. You realize the state of New York, thanks to a screw-up by Condé Nast, is, I believe, the only state that is required by law to pay interns. I don't think any other state requires interns to be paid. They get to work 80 hours a day in exchange for the privilege of learning their trade. Learning their trade. I was given such a gift. Listen, come here, get closer. Listen to this. You, they're asleep in the back. You can listen to this, you and me. They're, believe me, they're sound asleep. Your wife's got those stupid white ear things in there. You and I don't need these. Those, we're entertaining enough on our own. My wife left yesterday to take the two oldest girls to college. Shocking on all levels. My wife's doing it. My kids are in college. I can afford college. Thank you, federal government. Thank you, FAFSA. Believe me, you fill out a FAFSA form, you have earned all of that. Loan, grants, whatever they give you. All because of the expenses thrown on these colleges by the federal government. That's why it's so expensive. That's why when the feds say, okay, we're going to forgive loans, they're forgiving their own loans. Get it? It's a joke. Let them do it. Don't whine about it. Don't say, well, you know, when I was in school, we had to work for 400 years on the farm to pay back the loans. No, you had a $1,000 loan, and you're near death, so don't even begin to talk about it. But listen, my wife leaves on Friday. She left Friday, and she's going to be gone till Wednesday. I miss her. Yeah, I do. I miss being told when to brake the car. I miss being told how to put the dishes perfectly into the dishwasher, because I want to do it perfectly, as I know you do. I miss being told to pick up the towels. I miss being reminded that I do not know how to do the laundry and therefore should not do the laundry, especially all the undergarments. Do not put them in the dryer. Did you miss one? Oh my gosh. I miss not being told that the cat has peed again. I miss her. Till Wednesday, I will be missing my current wife and all of the incredible sets of instruction and ideas and revolutionary concepts that she has for me, Sean. I miss all of that. All right, good evening. I have too much show tonight. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night, inspired by Darwin Award winners.
Can a mousetrap cut off your finger? First, we're going to start with a Cheeto and work our way all the way up to my finger. Okay.
All right, coming up in just seconds, the official bakery of Sterling every damn night, the JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. But first, this very disturbing correspondence that I got from Mark W., a midnight misfit of note. He's been with us for a very long time because he's been with everything for a very long time. Walter, the Gaffneys took over Sterling on Sunday show last week. He's letting me know. They are usually okay, and somewhat funny. But last week, Becky was a pain in the ass. She kept interrupting her husband, Dan, over and over. Really annoying. I had to turn it off. And by the way, congratulations on being ambulatory enough to get up and turn it off. So many of my listeners are not. Really annoying. She never used to be like that. These women are out of control. But can you find someone else to guest star next time when you're gone? Cheers, Midnight Misfit Mark. Well, Midnight Misfit Mark, this is a more than serious matter because I sweat for 10, 15 seconds over who's going to be a guest star. I rarely take time off. I didn't take one Sunday off for the first 8 years. I don't think there's another talk show host in American radio who can say that. I know that the full-time anchors on 880 on WCBS in New York, they were taking 7-8 weeks off a year and wondering if there were any problems economically at the station, but I digress. The fact is that I take Midnight Misfits' input very seriously, and if you have any thoughts about the great talent that I had guest starring on Sterling on Sunday or Sterling every damn night in Philadelphia, which will soon be rolled out nationally as soon as we wake up the syndicator, let me know. 888-688-9258. That's my number. 888-688-9258. Now, I just checked with Sean, the sound shaper, and I said, were you on with the Gaffneys last week? Because I just got this note. And he said, he did, I swear. I don't remember. This is the cutting edge team that I've got. And then I egged him on a little. I said, you remember last week? Oh, yeah. I said, well, how were they? About the same. I said, were they worse, better than usual? Yeah, we're fine. Well, it's that sort of feedback that will propel this to the number one show in America on Sunday nights. Well, you know, the gold show isn't going to do it. And the Bitcoin show isn't going to do it. And the annuities in you show isn't going to do it. There is Steve and Selena of JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Steve and Selena are earned media. They are not paying for this time. There's no promotional consideration. I just love their bakery, and I love them. Steve and Selena has fallen in love while doing this show. This has bonded them in a way that the senior prom did not. How's that going, Selena? How's the romance going?
Well, the romance is going really well, Walter. I would say we've been together for almost a year, and we got together. A part of this, our story getting together was from this show, so it's kind of a special thing for us, and we're really happy to have been on for a year on Tuesday.
If you get married, will your mother send me an invitation?
If we get married, Walter, yes, and if she doesn't send it, I will send it myself.
Because I'm aware of the fact of something that Stephen is not fully internalized yet, which is that if, IF, capital, you two decide to get married in a very mutual decision, from that moment forever, he will have no say in anything starting with the wedding. Does he fully internalize that? Has he fully internalized that?
I don't know. Maybe he would be better to answer that question. And, I mean, it is really an if at this point. That was probably maybe why we haven't moved in that direction. Maybe he's still thinking through whether or not he wants to go in that that direction in life and not have a say in anything anymore. But I would hope that he would also want you to be at the wedding. And if not, it doesn't really matter because you're getting the invitation anyway.
The bride sends out the invitations. And one of the shocking things to most grooms is, guess what? The bride's mother does not even have to send your family an invitation. There is no requirement that the groom's mother and father are invited. It's not a requirement. And if they are, that's lucky. Do you understand, Stephen, that I think you know from enough witnessing that once you get married, your role diminishes every day. But are you aware that you have no say about the wedding?
Walter, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I've heard from my married friends that there's this thing that comes over, like the whole line of decision-making is just completely cut off. But I do have to say, you among a handful of other people this weekend said, hey, I want to come to the wedding. So it's definitely being talked to and chatted up in my ear, and things are moving in the right direction. And like I said, it's just wonderful. And it's been a year since we've been together and doing the radio show with you, and it's been a wonderful year. So I don't know. I really believe you would get an invitation for sure.
Selena, when do you graduate from college?
I graduate in May.
Yeah, Steve, not before she graduates. Don't propose before she graduates, because her brain will change, and you need to be on firm ground when you make that offer. You want to be on very, very firm ground when you say that. The best thing about your wedding is the one thing that Steve will have some say in, which is that, I'm just typing something here because I'm easily distracted, because I look forward to the cake. I'm damn sure you guys will have a spectacular wedding cake, and that's up to Steve.
The cake would be amazing.
And God help you if you blow that. God help you if you screw up the cake, because it's the one thing they're sure of that you can handle.
Well, the cake will be blown out of proportion for sure.
It'll be insane. What else?
Absolutely insane. We don't want to skip a graduation party as well. So there's cake and gifts during a graduation party. So we got to pace ourselves with the celebrations.
Yes. And you and I have a great tip. I'm not kidding. This is really a good tip. Honeymoons are expensive. It's an easy 10 grand. I went to Bora Bora and to Los Angeles. We went to L.A. for 3 days and Bora Bora for 10 days. And it was about $10,000, and it was all my miles. So we went first class. But here's the smoothest move. When you register gifts, I'm not going to tell you how to register gifts. You're going to know what to do because you've listened to me enough. But there's one thing I forgot to mention on the air. Register whatever you can of your honeymoon. The hotel stay, travel agent for the tickets for the plane, whatever you can register as a gift as part of the honeymoon, this will be the best thing you can do. It'll relieve you of the burden of the price of that. It'll give people something very active. Oh, yes, remember, I got you on the boat. Remember, Susie and I were happy to pay for the boat. And you'll thank me. This was one of the smoothest things, especially if you're established like you are, Steve. When you've had life going on a while and you may already have dishes, to have help with paying for the honeymoon will be something you will thank me for the rest of your life. Now, key lime pie. Tell me about the key lime pie.
The key lime pie is amazing. But first of all, I'd like to say, is it amazing, Walter, that when a business owner or somebody takes a day off, like somebody head up takes a day off, like somebody who's in charge takes one day off, it's like, oh, after having eight years of working nonstop, and you take one day off, you've taken a whole year off. That's how I feel sometimes. Yeah, I'm trying to enjoy my summer. Selena and I are going down the beach.
Do you ever take a day off?
Oh, I'm doing more now because just trying to enjoy the summer. It's coming to an end. She's going back to school, but we're still busy baking. The key lime pie is really awesome. Have you ever had a really good key lime pie?
I know that a good key lime pie is not green. It's yellow.
Yeah. You're
That's
right.
All I
green
know.
Green stuff is fake.
Right. And I had a key lime pie in the Keys, and I'm pretty sure that was the best one I've ever had.
Yeah, that is the Keys is probably the place to go. I had the most amazing key lime pie at Joe's Stone Crab in Miami, and that inspired me to make this one.
So you're going to offer us a recipe that gets close to Joe's Stone Crab in Miami?
Yeah, so I take real authentic Key West key lime juice. It's called Nelly and Joe's. That's the tip. Use Nelly and Joe's. And use real graham crackers, not the knockoff ones. Use real Keebler graham crackers. And you have to blend them. You got to grind them all up to press out.
All right, here's what you're going to do.
Pie shell.
Here, I forgive me. I went on and on about your wedding. I'm staring at the clock, rudest host ever. I know what you should do. You're going to offer that recipe to Midnight Misfits, and all that information will be on the recipe card, okay?
It's all there for you, Walter. I have it all ready for you.
JB Bakery, Burlington, New Jersey. Send me an email, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. And I will send you Steve the Baker's key lime pie recipe that's like Joe Stone Crab key lime pie in Miami. Oh, my God. This is Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hundreds of pretty girls and three ugly ones. Clubs shut down. Strippers on the loose. Later, Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share some stories of rubbing elbows with some famous celebrities during my time with the New York City Police Department. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
It's the people of Walmart on Sterling.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Amy Robach.
I have chosen love in my life, and I'm very excited about that path. I'm living my truth. There has been a price to pay, but I'm excited about the future.
Oh, my gosh. It's 53 past the hour. Walter M. Sterling in the 18-wheeler with you. And those four-wheelers, no, they can't drive. You're right. But remember, you're a Class A. You're a professional driver. You have to be patient with them maybe once or twice. There's Mateus Boom Boom from Hollywood, the only erudite contributor to this show, the only college graduate to this show. Did you graduate from college, Mateus?
I did not, only the College of the Movie Theaters.
Is
I went straight into the movie business after high school.
Good decision. That meant that you were working the minute you went through the movie theater. I'm going to talk later on tonight about the best horny movie I ever saw, and I can't believe that until today I completely forgot about it. I don't want you to give away what it's about, but I want you to say whether or not you remember it. Two Moon Junction.
Okay.
Two Moon Junction. Do you remember that movie?
Vaguely.
Sherilyn Fenn and Christy McNichol.
Yes.
That was the height of 80s horniness. Oh, my God. Now, what movie do you want to talk about tonight, Mateus? And thank you for your patience. And I'm sorry about last week. I was so fried last week when I went on vacation. I didn't do the courtesies to you or Dr. Dave. I apologize. It won't happen again.
Oh, don't worry. I've got good news for you. KFBK in Sacramento finally has this show on the air. So there you go. We're back on at KFBK where we should have been all this time.
Well, the reason we weren't on is that their chief engineer forgot to plug it in. I swear to God. Anyway, go ahead. I don't want to kill your time. Go ahead, please.
Well, unlike the many ambulatory Midnight Misfits that have the power to go up and turn off their radio at times, I don't have that choice in a movie theater when watching a movie like Blink Twice, which is the new movie from Zoe Kravitz, who, of course, is the offspring of Lenny Kravitz and Lisa Bonet, her cinematic offspring released by MGM Studios, which is now owned by Amazon. Is just bizarre. It stars Channing Tatum, who's this tech billionaire who invites beautiful girls to his private island. Already, that seems like a role for success for Channing Tatum, at least, and his buddies that party with the girls. Of course, there's lots of excitement, sex, and adventure on the island, and a great deal of partying. But something's just not right. Something's just not right, Walter, and she wants to get to the bottom of what it is. but you can't quite figure it out. Pretty good casting here. Christian Slater, Haley Joel Osment, Simon Rex, Kyle MacLachlan, and Gina Davis, who is nice to see on the screen again.
Whoa.
But things get darker and darker because they're plied with food, drugs, and wine, which make them not recall overnight events. Add some snakes to it, which adds a touch of bizarre, some filming in Mexico, and an impending sense of doom, which is never realized. And I think you may have to blink more than twice to forget this picture. Sometimes movies are so bad, they leave a stain on the screen. Yet a well-assembled cast is always interesting to watch. That's Blink Twice in theaters everywhere today.
Who is nude in it the most?
Oh, you pick. You pick. We have, of course, Naomi Ackie, who is our female heroine, and other guests who are starlets who are not well known yet today, but their bodies may be memorable for some viewers.
How do I get in touch with you tomorrow, Mateus? If I want to write you an email, how do I do that?
An email at mabhollywood@gmail.com. Or, of course, you can find me on Facebook, Matias Bombals Hollywood. That's Matias, M-A-T-I-A-S, Bombal, B-O-M-B-A-L, Hollywood, on Facebook for the latest.
All right, next Friday you're going to be on Sterling every damn night in Philadelphia, and then on Sunday you'll be back to share a review. I love your reviews. I think you're a cool guy, and I'm very grateful for your tolerance and your incredible sense of humor. Thank you, Mateus.
I love this show.
He loves the show. Did you hear that, Paul Vandenberg? He loves the show. I've got so much excitement for you. Coming up in just 6 minutes, I have fresh live weather from Dr. Dave Iser. This is Sterling every damn night.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
I am so grateful that my friend of a lifetime, Dr. Dave Iser, has a sense of humor and is still with us tonight. Now, meteorologist Dave Iser.
More news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. It's the people of Walmart on Sterling at night.
Stories on Instagram, it has to do with safety at Walmart and the parking lot. Young woman walks into the Walmart, as women do, probably for the great fashions and probably amazing toiletries and shampoo and probably for doilies, because they got lots of doilies at Walmart. They're amazing. Young women love them. All right, here's how it goes. Woman goes into Walmart. She's beginning her shopping excursion. And all of a sudden, a gentleman comes up wearing a Walmart associate vest. The Walmart associate is probably one of the most trustworthy people in the world. It's an automatic sign of trust. Anyone wearing a blue vest with a little button on them saying, "Hi, my name is so-and-so, and welcome to Walmart." The woman is asked if she's driving a silver Toyota, license plate, yada, yada, yada. She confirms, "Well, yes, that's my car." "Oh, your vehicle's going to be towed. You're parking in the wrong place." Before going out to her car, a Walmart manager jumps in. You see, it was an imposter Walmart associate. And there's real concerns about women being followed into stores. If you talk to any woman, they have creepy things that have happened at stores and at malls, where all of a sudden they're being stalked. There's all of a sudden some weird guy following them. One of the big concerns is that this woman may have been set up in a way to go to her car, touch the handle, and the handle having some sort of drug on it that would knock her out, would lead to kidnapping. Walmart manager at said location stood up and stopped this, brought a cloth, he wiped down everything. He brought up some 409. 409 is a strong choice when you want to clean things off. So a warning, at Walmart, they don't tow you unless you're somebody who doesn't have the handicap sticker and you parked in the handicap section. Human trafficking is a real big deal. Let's warn our daughters, our sisters, our mothers, and our cousins about this. And congratulations to Walmart to recognizing this. And that's why they really are the number one company in the world. They have caring people that actually work there. Look out for the imposters. If the imposter seems too stalky, just go to the service desk and ask for the manager. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling every damn night.
See how I'm sitting here waiting for my group to get called before I board? Very demure. I'm being respectful. I'm being mindful. I'm not taking up unnecessary space. We're all getting on the same plane and taking off at the same time. It's very demure.
Sterling every damn night. It's 11 past the hour, 11 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling, a live radio show on Sunday night. I'm having such a good time tonight. I did something I never do. I just took a photo of me and posted it on Facebook, Walter Sterling. That's the Facebook page, S-T-E-R, Walter Sterling on Facebook. Keith in Illinois, welcome to Sterling Every Damn Night. Hi.
How you doing, sir? KMOX out of St. Louis.
Isn't that the best? Isn't that an amazing radio station?
Well, I kind of, you know, about a month ago you were talking to a lady, and they only have you on Sunday nights.
Well,
I was hoping you'd talk to KMOX and tell them to put you on every night.
Now, what are you speaking to me on? Is it a megaphone? What are you talking to me on? It's very, goes in and out, in and out. What kind of phone is that?
Cell phone. I'm in my truck.
Oh, okay. Listen, buddy, you're working. You're my hero. Is it an 18-wheeler?
No, sir. I'm in a pickup truck.
And how's it going? Is it for work or is it your pleasure truck?
Well, I retired, but I just retired. I do heating and air conditioning. I'm a master journeyman, 50 years. And I do a lot of work on the side, you know, help folks out and stuff. But, I listen to you every Sunday night because I got caught you. But the reason I called you was to say, welcome back. Missed you.
Thank you. Why did you miss me?
I like to listen to you. I really do. I did enjoy all the substitutes that you had lined up, too.
Thank you. I thought they were pretty good. It's hard to step in and do someone else's show. It doesn't matter whose it is. It's hard to step in and do it. I thought they did pretty good. Well, they're pros. They're actually more experienced than I am. Now, listen, I have this question, Keith, and this is not ego. This helps me make a better show. Is there one or two things about the show that you really like, or one or two things that you could do without?
No, I like listening to you and... Like I talked to you before, I was hoping, you know, you could get Lesbians in Space leaping.
Hey, Sean, do you have a Lesbians in Space there? Could you play a Lesbians in Space when I say goodbye to Keith? That would be terrific if you could do that. I'm going to play a Lesbians in Space for you right now, Keith, because you're gold. You are like radio gold. Thanks for listening to Sterling every damn night. Lesbians in Space. You got one, Sean?
Lesbians.
Hey.
Hi.
Can I get your number?
Oh, I'm straight.
Well, spaghetti's straight too. Until it gets wet.
Hey.
Hi. Can I get your number?
Oh, I'm straight.
Well, spaghetti's straight too. Until it gets wet.
Hey.
Hi. Can I get your number?
Oh, I'm straight.
Well, spaghetti's straight too. Until it gets wet.
Sterling on Sunday, Sterling every damn night. It is 15 minutes past the hour. No, this is a live radio show. And you know what that means? It means you can call, like Keith. Here's a number, 888-688-WALT. Suzanne Grimes' last act was to give me a vanity phone number, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I just posted on Facebook an actual live photo of me behind the mic. And as I'm looking at the photo, I really should have done some photoshopping before I shared this with you. But hell, if you're listening You don't fit in. You're not normal. You could care less what I look like. Only my daughters care what I look like, and they're never happy. Are your daughters ever happy with how you look? You're, why? Why? What? No, you need a haircut. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night, inspired by Eliza Schlesinger.
Going out also, you got to dress up if you're going to go out. Tedious, pointless. Guys, next time you see a girl in a pair of heels, ask her how tall she is. She will give you two numbers. She will give you her height and her heel height. How tall are you? I'm 5'6", I'm 5'9", in heels. Girls, don't do that. No one's interested in how tall you can be. We're not picking for basketball teams. It doesn't matter. They're just trying to talk to you. After that initial height, it's just mindless statements after that. 5'6", 5'9", in heels. Great. I can go 5 miles an hour, 80, in a car.
Randy West is a brilliant entrepreneur in Hollywood. He knows everybody. He has been in every studio, been a part of every television show that you like, and he has written the first tell-all about behind the scenes in television. And after this book, I don't know why anybody in the industry talks to you because you've revealed every secret in this book. What's the title of the book, Randy?
TV Inside Out, Flukes, Flakes, Feuds, and Felonies. And there's no shortage of any flukes, flakes, feuds, or felonies in this town.
It is a zesty book. You should be very proud of it. How do I buy it?
Go to TVRandyWest.com, TVRandyWest.com, and I can autograph it to you. Or you can just get it on Amazon and just be one of the regular folks.
Or you can be special and get it where? Autographed?
TVRandyWest, TVRandyWest.com. Thank you, Walt.
All right, TV Randy West. Now, there's a scandal at Jeopardy, which has been in scandal mode ever since Alec Trebek died.
Yes.
Endless scandals. I mean, who knew? Who knew there was so much trouble there? We forgot about the game. But Colin Jost, who somehow or another married Scarlett Johansson, but actually I think it's the size of his bank account. I think he inherited a lot of money. So Colin Jost, who inherited a lot of money, married Scarlett Johansson. That's really all we need to know. But Ken Jennings seems to be outraged that Colin is going to be the host of Populist Jeopardy. I'm not going to say any more, Randy. It's yours from here on out. Tell us this story.
Well, I don't want to make it sound like Ken Jennings has a negative bone in his body because he's really a sweet guy and he's got everything he needs in life and he's a very happy soul. But a lot of other people around him are thinking, how does Colin Jost, whatever, end up with a Jeopardy show called Pop Culture Jeopardy? Because he's not a broadcaster. He's not a... Can you imagine him trying to read 61 questions in 21 minutes of show? It's a very rigorous presentation. And all I've ever seen him do, God knows he's got talent beyond what we've seen on Saturday Night Live, is to sit there, smile into the camera, doing that weekend update, and tell these pre-prepared jokes and just smile and look cute. And that's fine for that, but... The problem is larger than that. The problem is everybody's casting by checkbook, you know, by check marks. For example, take Hollywood Squares. There's a new version coming. Oh, isn't that nice? But the way they've cast it is crazy. You've got somebody in the center square where Paul Lynde used to be very funny and Joan Rivers in the center square and Whoopi Goldberg, very funny people. Now they're putting Drew Barrymore in there. I don't think I've ever heard her tell a joke. The host, Nate Burleson. You might say, who? Well, that's from the CBS morning show. And he's a great broadcaster, but it's one black, it's one female, and then the other eight squares. Who are these people? For anyone over the age of 34, who are these people? There's only one person there that's a gift to grandma if we family was to watch together, and that's Vicki Lawrence. But getting back to Jeopardy, it's it, if, what can I say? It's pop culture Jeopardy. Three people on a team, three teams. So there's going to be nine people on camera all trying to talk and buzz in at the same time. It requires a traffic cop, somebody who can really control the set. And I've never seen that in Colin Jost. Now, this is no disappointment with his talent. It's just incorrect casting. Why does he get the job? Well, he's got Hollywood connections, as you pointed out. He's young. That's the biggest thing now in the world. And he's cute, and that's great. And he computes. You know, there's something called a Q score that's been going around in television for 70 years. 70 years as a company. Go look it up. Q score is a measure of how many people are familiar with somebody, and then of those people, how many consider that star their favorite. And these Q scores are printed every month or every quarter, and it's very expensive to subscribe, but the studios do. They want to know who's hot, who does everybody know, and of the people who know them, how many consider them their favorite. And this is how they're casting. So it doesn't matter whether your talent overlaps with the job. It's how many people like the guy and are going to find themselves attracted to the show. It's just a different world. And you know that, Walt, as much as anybody.
Now, in fairness, Colin is also the head writer of Saturday Night Live. And that means that, that means we know he's smart. If nothing else, we know he's smart. And he talks Scarlett Johansson into something. And I don't know. But I believe he happens to be wealthy, and that may have been part of the appeal. And yes, he is cute. And I think he's been on TV long enough that he qualifies as a broadcaster. But I don't know how much help he's going to have in wrangling that set. Is the floor manager helping him? How much of it is on prompter? I was shocked when you just said that on populist pop culture Jeopardy, there are going to be three teams of three people. How the hell do you do that?
That's a very good question. And, you know, the questions you're asking, though, about how is he going to do the questions, how is he going to wrangle people, it doesn't matter anymore. Listen to this. Most of these shows are shot now with five, six, seven cameras, each of them isolated. So when you are done with a seven-camera shoot for a half-hour show, you have 3.5 hours of video to piece together to make the 24 minutes. So what you have is so many possibilities for retakes, different angles, second versions of things. So it's done together, you know, piecemeal. It's like a quilt. It's sewing a quilt now. Television isn't the way it once was. And you can see this when somebody is about to tell a joke. How is it that the camera goes to somebody who hasn't spoken yet? And then they're going to tell a joke. It's because the editing gets there ahead of the natural flow of the show. And, you know, it's a new world. It's a new way of doing things. But I don't necessarily agree that the ability to make somebody look good is the same as having somebody who's cast appropriately for the job.
Randy West, is there any other gossip we should know about in Hollywood?
Yes. I'll give you a big one. Somebody, you know, everybody thinks showbiz is all glitter and glamour. Well, another person just died on the shoot at the Disney production of Marvel at the Radford Studios. A lighting guy is up in the grid, but that's the catwalks that's 40 feet above the stage, and the catwalks weren't properly maintained, and he fell to his death, and Disney was fined by OSHA $35,000. Now, the box office at Disneyland turns $35,000 about every 20 minutes, I would think, certainly within an hour. And this is the death of somebody who's, you know, just a middle class, middle wage guy trying to raise a family, you know, and he's up there carrying lights on a catwalk that obviously wasn't properly maintained. And there's some people who are saying that if you went up there, you would see where it says, don't step here, don't step there. OSHA went up there and immediately found liability.
Did he die?
That's a sad thing.
Did he die?
Yeah. Oh. Right there. And then the crew called 1 hour, and they finished the day after a one-hour break.
Yeah, but his family didn't call the right lawyer.
Not yet.
I mean, 35,000.
He's going to own Frontierland. Yeah.
Yes, he's going to own Frontierland. Randy West, what's the name of your book?
TV, Inside Out, Flukes, Flakes, Feuds, Felonies. And we see you at TVRandyWest.com. And thank you, Walt. Always a pleasure talking with you.
TVRandyWest.com. TVRandyWest.com. One quick question. the gamer voiceover strikers. Is that strike over?
No, we're marching again Wednesday at Warner Brothers. And what this is about is they take somebody who's voicing a character in a video game, and they want to be able to use them in other games that haven't even been devised yet, and we'll use them forever. So here's $3,000. Go home for the rest of your life, and we have all the things we need you to say that we, through AI, can adjust and adapt to every show in the future. That's what they want to be able to do, and we don't like it.
No, one of our show's friends is Robert Clotworthy, who does a lot of the games and is the voice of the History Channel. He's the voice of Ancient Aliens. And I'm going to get him on next week to talk about this strike. Randy West, thank you for being on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Damn Night, inspired by Robin Hood.
You know who Robin Hood is? Yeah, that Disney movie where Robin Hood's a fox. When you were little, did you think he was handsome and then, like, your crotch gets a headache?
Are you kidding? That voice and how he didn't wear pants? Oh.
You go away for the weekend, or we would spend our days at home cooking, or spend the day in bed wrapped up in each other's arms, just the two of us. It's what I've been dreaming about.
You see the size of my comb? Very cutesy, very demure, very mindful of my 75 soft. You see how I eat my cone? Very demure, very cutesy, very demurety, if you will. I'm not like you other girls. I don't do too much.
Is what keeping our country from being united. That. Because what has happened in the past 15 years, it's not crap, nonsense, theory, political theory that some a-holes thought would be good radio. Am I the only one who's noticed that all of those shows keep going down in the ratings every hour? Am I the only one who can read that? But that's not why we're divided. It's not politics. It has nothing to do with politics. I'm an old man, excuse me. It has to do with that music. Sean, you got that music. Can you play that music again? Is the cart re-queued? Can we play that again? I want to hear that again. Oh, perfect. Perfect. He's so good to me. He's such a good good sound engineer tonight. Listen to this. Show Dynasty. When did Dynasty come out? In the 80s. In the go go boom boom 80s. Prospered, and that there was a 10%, a 1% that was growing and becoming more demonstrative with their jets and their duplexes and their penthouses and their Rolls Royces and their $4,000 Italian suits. He went, well, most of America will hate them. And he created a show, multiple shows. Remember Falcon Breast, Falcon Crest? What was it? He created multiple shows that demonstrated that they were very fallible, that they were evil, that they did very wrong things to very innocent, lesser class people. He demonized them in a salacious, huge, Emma Sands bra size show. And we gathered around the TV, the urban campfire, the light box with wires inside. And we gathered around the television in the 80s, and we watched shows like Dallas and Dynasty and Falcon Breast and many others that demonized the wealthy, that exposed them for all their fallibles, and that were much worse than ours because they always committed murder. They always put other people out of business and committed murder. We had to figure and lock their daughters in the closet because they might have committed murder. Remember that on Falcon Breast. And we were able to gather around the TV and vent and bleed our anger toward the rich for an hour or 2 hours, depending on how many shows you wanted to watch, every week. And we felt better when it was over. We could manage our lives. Our animosity was drained. And we had a beer. God, bring some beer in here. Dallas is on. You got some wine coolers? Let me have some wine coolers. And you got some beer? It's in the back of the refrigerator. It's behind the leftovers. And when are you going to throw out those leftovers? Isn't it time to throw out those leftovers? You know, I think they have a life of their own. They're walking in there. Susan, they're walking in there. Tupperware was king. Today, because of digital, the fault, the challenge of our culture is digital video. Streaming video. Like viruses in the bloodstream, streaming video, dozens and dozens and dozens of streams at any given time, letting you and me watch To Tell the Truth from 1958 and to watch cutting edge porn on Netflix from yesterday and everything in between. We can choose from hundreds, maybe thousands of television shows right now. We can see every episode of Pawn Stars. We can see every episode of Storage Wars right now. We never have to get up. But most importantly, none of it's in real time. there is no central meeting points during the week. Oh, did you see Dallas yesterday? Did you see Dynasty last night? Did you see Falcon Breast yesterday? Did you see that show? There is none of that conversation in the Zoom meetings. No conversations like that take place in the Zoom meetings today. There is no central meeting point. There is no common experience. Nothing bridges our emotions with each other across the office, across the salon, across the doctor's office, across the retail store, wherever you and I work, wherever misfits don't fit in. We have nothing in common to talk about. We have no place to vent our annoyance at the government or the rich people. We don't. Aaron Spelling is long dead. I don't think he could have solved it. There, and then on lighter fare, there's no new sitcom that we all sit around and talk about. You couldn't name a new sitcom going on this season or one that was on over the summer. You couldn't name one. You don't know the ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox schedule at all. Or the CW schedule, which is the only one I used to know. I think the last show I almost sort of watched was the one in upper New York City about the school with the Sprouse twin. That was the last one I watched. I'll think of it in a second. I don't expect too much of me. I'm coming up with big theories here. That's why we are divided, because there is nothing to stitch us together during the week. We would have been this divided in the 80s if it wasn't for Dallas, Falcon Crest, Dynasty. We would have been divided then. But we had these points in common where we could laugh, share it, have lunch. Oh, let's all sit around and talk about Dallas last night. Let's talk about Dynasty. What are you going to sit around and talk about? There are no common meeting points. They're gone. Class is over. 48 past the hour, Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Frank Rizzo.
Put that on camera. You're a creep.
Sterling every night, the cop on his line. Neon lights flicker, the patrons talking jive. Trailer parks under the moonlit sky. Detective Vic Ferrari always gets this guy.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell a couple of stories from my book, The NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos. In the book, there's a chapter entitled Rubbing Elbows, and that's where I bumped into and met some famous celebrities while as a member of the New York City Police Department. Started probably about 1997 when I was working the St. Patrick's Day Parade. My partner and I were standing across Fifth Avenue waiting for traffic to cross when I noticed a guy in a canary sweater. I go, you know, I think that's Peter Falk. He goes, who? I go, Peter Falk. Who? Columbo. He looks across Fifth Avenue and he goes, you're right. We finally let traffic go across. Columbo starts heading my way. He notices two NYPD cops in uniform staring at us. He goes to duck away. We cornered him against a parked car, and I said, Mr. Falk, we're huge fans. He goes, I don't know what you're talking about. My name isn't Peter Falk. I go, come on, Columbo. Finally, he said, all right, what do you want to know? Hurry up. I'm late for the dentist. Another time, traveling in the West Village with my partner, we saw this young, thin guy walking around drinking a soda. My partner goes, Kevin Bacon. I said, it's not Kevin Bacon. He goes, I'll bet you coffee. I said, okay. We're following him. As Kevin Bacon steps into the street, we cut in front of him with an unmarked Jeep. He looks into the car and he goes, are you guys cops? I said, yep. He leans in the car. I go, you are Kevin Bacon. He goes, yeah. And then I had to buy my partner a coffee. Probably about 1994, I spotted a film crew in the Riverdale section of the Bronx. Got out, asked a production assistant, what do you guys film? And he says, oh, we're filming this movie with Harrison Ford. I go, where is he? He goes, he's standing right there. Now, I figured Harrison Ford would be in a trailer or being pampered. Uh-uh. He was sitting on the sidewalk drinking a bottle of water. Well, I was in my uniform. My partner and I walked up to him. We talked to him for about 45 minutes about Hollywood. Again, couldn't have been a nicer guy. Probably around 2004, my partner and I spotted a film crew in the Bronx up on Boston Road. Same thing. Asked the production assistant, what are you filming? Said the movie. Didn't recognize it. I go, anybody famous in it? Anybody good? He goes, you guys like Julianne Moore? I said, Julianne Moore, you crazy? She's beautiful. He goes, she's pretty friendly. If you guys want, I'll see if she'll give you guys an autograph. So I ran across the street to a drugstore and bought a disposable camera. She came out about 15 minutes later with a Glamour magazine, tossed it to one of the production assistants, started taking photos with us. She couldn't have been nicer, sharing stories about her time in Hollywood. But one of the most famous people I met was on the pilot Ground Zero. While we were taking a break, a lot of Hollywood types were coming around, shaking hands and giving out autographs to show their support. Robert De Niro came through the crowd. Everybody started jumping up like the Messiah. I felt like Forrest Gump when someone pushed him into me. Mr. De Niro, I'm a huge fan. And he made that smirk where the mole comes up. So as a member of the New York City Police Department, you never know who you're going to bump into. And I encourage you to check out my new book, The NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos, for the rest of these stories.
All right, the great Vic Ferrari. Get that book. It's the best beach book, the weekend book. You get on a plane, you got a 2.5-hour trip. Isn't that the worst length for a jet flight? 2.5 hours. They don't bring out any food. There's no entertainment. There will be nothing going on. You're going to sit there bored out of your mind for 2.5 hours. That's when you need Vic Ferrari's book. Guaranteed. Coming up, you and I are going to learn about the latest on UFOs. There's a lot of actual news, like real news, not imaginary news, with the great Dave Scott, a legendary Canadian. And Thea Landon will be educating us in seconds, not to mention the fact that coming up, I am appalled and disgusted at all these school systems that want to come up with systems for eliminating iPhones in the room, cell phones in the classrooms. This is the worst idea possible. And you and I will explore Timothy Chalamet's bizarre relationship with Kylie Jenner. No, that's what I said. Timothy Chalamet, a classy actor from Hell's Kitchen in Manhattan, is hanging out with a 29-year-old woman who has two children and has, I don't think she's ever been married. There's no way I could date a woman and have to deal with a baby daddy. It'd be enough to deal with the ex-husband to have to deal with a baby daddy. No thanks. I don't think it helps Timothy's career. I really don't. But I have a lot of opinions. How about you? My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. And you got to look on Facebook. I just posted a picture of myself from right now because I'm having such a good time tonight. And I realize I missed being with you so much the past two Sundays. How much? Not really. I really didn't miss it that much. But all week, I'm like, I can't wait to get back on the air. And that was a very good thought. That meant I needed a vacation. I definitely needed a vacation. So I'm grateful for that. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. And I have an email, and I answer every email. It's WalterMSterling@gmail. WalterMSterling@gmail. Sterling every damn night.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to get the Pozzo Pizza, 132 South Street. An organic message. They've earned it. That is the best pizza I have found in Philadelphia. All right, coming up now, weather for the week with meteorologist Dr. Dave.
Sterling every night, lost in space. Mission control, Dave Scott.
Dave Scott, expert on UFOs, metaphysics, Bigfoot, And I have a specific space question for you, Dave Scott, a Canadian, a known Canadian. Dave, do you remember a movie called Two Moon Junction?
I have no idea. I've never heard of it until it came out of your mouth.
Two Moon Junction is the best softcore erotic movie that I've ever seen, and I can't believe I completely forgot about it till today. It was starred Sherilyn Fenn and Christy McNichol. Sherilyn Fenn and Christy McNichol, and Sherilyn Fenn spent most of the movie nude, which was a key benefit. She was in that TV series that everybody loved that I didn't love. Forget it. Anyway, so I completely forgot about it. I will discuss it at great length coming up in exactly 11 minutes. But Dave Scott, I apologize to you. You thought you were going to be on the radio last Sunday, and I was on vacation. And then you thought you were going to be on Thursday, and I was really sick. I was on the air Wednesday night on 1210 WPHT in Philadelphia, 50,000-watt station that can be heard from Washington, D.C. to the coast of Maine, no problem. And at about 10:45, I started to lose my voice, which is a very scary thing when you're doing a talk show, because there are very few songs you can go to. You can't go to a lot of songs. And then I did go to one or two songs and got very, very angry emails from my listeners, because most of my audience cannot get up. Most of my audience is not ambulatory. They need an assistant to go to the radio to change the station. And it was very traumatic for many of them, and I hope they lived. But then on Friday, when I thought you'd be on, 1210 WPHT in Philadelphia aired a brilliant show. They air a brilliant show every Friday at 10 p.m. They go over local high school football games, which is the smartest thing they could possibly do. But you thought you'd be on, and I forgot, so just forgive my rudeness.
Oh, that is quite okay, you know, because everything's getting back to normal here, you know. Like, you got high school football there, which is, I've never seen a high school football game in the United States. I would love to. It's actually on my bucket list, seeing a high school and college football game. I've never seen them live. Then again, I've never seen an NFL game live. So there's my trifecta. But hockey season is starting here tomorrow for me, with my little boy going to summer camp to get ready for the season. So, you know, we got to make those early mornings starting to happen. I'm good with it, Walt. I hope you are too.
What is the latest from space?
Well, you know, we've been talking a lot about the former head of the UFO program, Lou Elizondo, and his book, Imminent. He went on Joe Rogan's podcast, which has millions of listeners, just last week. And he brought up a case, Walt, that I thought would be really interesting to share with you. And they were talking about USOs, which are underwater submerged objects. And they apparently, the United States government, apparently has film of a USO. He couldn't say where, he couldn't say the time of year it happened, but this USO was probably the size of a city block. So probably the size of one of those big oil rigs that you always see the helicopters line up. They got them all in the Gulf of Mexico and off the coastlines. Okay, it was probably the size of that. You're not going to believe the speed that this was going. It was traveling at 550 knots underwater, which is about 634 miles per hour underwater. That is faster than any torpedo. It's faster than any submarine. And this was one of the concerns that he had, because they got video footage of this large object. Plus, they have radar and sonar footage of it. And unfortunately, the U.S. government is not letting the public know that we got aliens under the ocean as well.
Dave? Did he have a timeline for this? Did he say that the aliens are under the ocean now, or was this in the past?
This happened sometime in the past. He was not, under his NDAs, he was not allowed to say where it happened or when it happened, but that there is video footage of it happening. And I thought that was absolutely incredible, because one of the things that a lot of people on the inside have been telling me, Walt, is we have to watch the oceans. We think that is where they are hiding a lot of their technology, a lot of their bases. There has been footage of craft going in and out of the ocean. And publicly, there was one just a couple of years ago in Hawaii where this blue orb was seen hovering and making zigzags over the ocean, and then all of a sudden it shot straight down like a lightning bolt and went right in the water. Coast Guard was deployed, and there was no wreckage, no sign of anything. And you can look that footage up on YouTube. It was on the Hawaiian local news and everything.
If you buy into the theory that some of these aliens are reptilians, then they can easily live underwater.
Or they're able to seal their craft to not only get through space, but to seal it from any type of leakage as well. I mean, look, here's the thing. We don't know what kind of technology is out there. We don't know what they have. Now, allegedly, the United States government does. They have potentially up to 12 or more craft in their possession. And they are trying to reverse engineer. And here's the other thing that Elizondo also stated publicly last week. He stated that it's private companies like Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, McDonnell Northrop, they are all in the UFO game, and they are all trying to reverse engineer these mechanical parts that do not come from this earth.
And probably they're missing the point. Like, if they're just trying to reverse engineer specific mechanical parts without understanding the whole, that's very much a analog American way of thinking of a problem. I've always equated it to this. Imagine if 1,000 years from now, the concept and mechanism of an automobile was forgotten, and archaeologists come across a junkyard, a 1980s junkyard, and it's filled, it's one of those junkyards you see in the Midwest, filled with thousands of automobiles, thousands of them. And they're trying to figure out how it worked. They're trying to figure out how they were propelled, because you see, they couldn't figure it out because not one of those automobiles in the junkyard would have a battery in it. And long ago, they had forgotten about batteries. Nobody knew what that was. They would look at the car, they'd open it up, they'd have no idea how to start that car. And if they even tried to put in traditional electricity on those electrodes, it wouldn't start. It would be AC rather than DC. They wouldn't know. And then think about this. DC current, the only place that's used on Earth today is with a battery. It doesn't exist anyplace else. Disappeared 80 years ago. By 1,000 years from now, it'll long be forgotten. And then they find a junkyard with 15,000 cars, and they wouldn't know how to start it. And I think that's been our dilemma with the pyramids. I think that's been our dilemma with most of ancient Egyptian, quote, technology. It's like there's a key piece that disappeared years ago because no one else used it. It was DC current.
Do we have time for one more?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you know, remember a couple of weeks ago that we were talking about Roswell, and I had said to you, what if I were to tell you there was a second crash that day? And this there is hundreds of books out there.
Wait. I've been a bad host. You and I are talking to Dave Scott, who's a brilliant ufologist, a great broadcaster from Canada, who's sharing us cutting-edge latest information on UFOs and all the things we secretly care about. Go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
Okay, you remember that conversation about Roswell where I'd mentioned to you that there was a second crash that day that the hundreds of books that are out there never talk about. Well, guess what? Elizondo has confirmed in his book, Imminent, that there was a second crash that day that nobody talks about. He said they collided in air. One apparently continued to fly off. He didn't say that it crashed on the ground. And he said the other one crashed in Roswell. But if there is a crash between two craft, where's the second craft? That is the one at San Agustin, Mexico, New Mexico, where a gentleman who I interviewed, Gerald Anderson, who is now deceased, had seen the craft with his father at the age of 5 years old. And the late researcher, Dr. Stanton Friedman, he actually investigated that case and said that it made Roswell open up way more questions than we have answers. And Elizondo has finally confirmed that there was a second crash on the day of Roswell.
Dave Scott, how do I get in touch with you tomorrow?
SpacedOutRadio.com, or please go subscribe to my YouTube channel, Spaced Out Radio.
Spaced Out Radio with the great Dave Scott. Thank you for being on Sterling every damn night at 20 minutes past the hour.
Sterling every damn night, inspired by Cher.
Cher once told me, if it doesn't matter in 5 years, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And I was like, thank you, Cher. Truer words. God, I wish Cher had told me something.
Vegas, oh my gosh, we thought you were on strike. Kendall, what do you have to report to excite us with?
I am here. I'm not on strike. I'm back, and it's great to be back. Thanks for having me, Walter. I just heard your audio clip about the Cher audio clip. And did you know that Cher and we share the same birthday?
I thought you were going to say you share the same man.
No. We don't. We do not share the same man.
When's your birthday?
It is May 20th.
What sign are you?
I am a Taurus. So I'm actually one of those weird ones, Walter, where I am right on the cusp. I was born... Yeah, it's a cusp one. So if I was born like a few hours later, I would be a Gemini.
Well, if you were a Gemini, you'd be certifiably crazy. This way you can just pretend to be crazy and we can accept it. And by the way, I hope you know, because I don't want to hear any more whining, that we are on KFBK tonight.
Oh, I heard. I am so thankful and grateful. It looks like they finally got their stuff together over there at KFBK. And congratulations to them and to you for being back on KFBK. It's only been about 3 months that we've been trying to make this happen. But thank you, Hashem. We are back.
Now, what has been exciting in your life that we can live vicariously through you?
Well, I have been doing some more traveling. I'm back in Las Vegas, where it is very hot still. It's 82 degrees. And I've been to L.A. I've been to San Diego. I'm back in Las Vegas. And what is exciting? Well, I've got some shows coming up I'm pretty excited about to attend and to work on my photography. I'm also working on my wedding still. And some wedding plans. I heard you earlier talking to JB's Bakery about their wedding plans, and that's so exciting.
Well, he hasn't proposed.
I know, but they I just love how you're already giving him the advice.
Well, he's doomed, and I felt it was safe to give him the advice that will happen. The interesting thing about them is he's got to be 41 or 2, and she's a senior in college.
Wow, big age difference, yeah.
Big age difference, big something. So the other thing is that I think I gave them really good wedding registry advice. Did you hear what I told them about how to set up their wedding registry?
I did, and I remember when you gave me similar advice, too. Yeah, I love what you were telling us.
Yeah, I said, register for pieces of your honeymoon. Let people contribute to your honeymoon, either through a travel agent or a hotel chain, because that'll be a $10,000 item. I don't care how you do it. It's going to be $10,000, and let people contribute toward that, especially for people who are established in life and they already have the dinner set and the silverware. They already have all that stuff. They already have the can opener. Pay for their honeymoon. Now, I'm sorry, I interrupted you, Kendall. Go ahead. This is Kendall, Aviva Vegas. Aviva Las Vegas, Kendall Aviva Las Vegas, who has the life that we want. Go ahead, Kendall.
Well, yes, I love what you told them. I love your honeymoon idea, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow your advice also with our honeymoon, because there's things that I want, but there's already a lot that I have, but I really want that experience. I'm pretty sure I've been thinking about our honeymoon, and we've been talking a lot about it. We're going to go for Maui, because that's where I've always wanted it, and so we're going to do it, and I'm going to do what you said, and I love your advice, and I'm also been just prepping for the wedding, looking at dresses, thinking about different flowers, thinking about the three different ceremonies that we're going to have. And it's been a lot to plan, but I know that we're getting closer toward it. So we still don't have an actual date, but it's coming. It's coming. And I am getting ready, and I'm getting physically ready for it. And so that includes me trying to do like a boot camp. I'm doing a wedding boot camp right now.
Who's in your boot? Are you giving the boot camp?
This is me. No, this is me. I am receiving the boot camp because I would like to drop at least like 10 or 15 pounds so that I look so good. Like, I know I'm going to look great in my wedding dress, Walter, no matter what weight I am. Right. But as a woman, I want to look so good. I want to look back at these pictures. I don't want to have to edit them. I want to look gorgeous. I want to look sexy. I want to look hot. I want to look skinny. And, Walter, I actually asked my doctor for Wegovy so that I could try to drop an extra 15 pounds real quick, you know, and they denied me. They denied me the Wegovy.
Is that like Ozempic?
Yeah, it's like Ozempic, and they pretty much said that I'm not obese enough to get it. So,
well, see, about 6 weeks ago, my endocrinologist for my diabetes said, "Do you want Ozempic?" And I'm like, "What?" She said, "Do you want Ozempic?" I said, "How many of your patients ask for it?" She said, "All of them." And yeah. I said, "I haven't asked for it. And I don't have that problem. I have the diabetes problem." She says, "Well, yeah, let's do that." And I've been on it now for 7 weeks. I haven't lost a pound. I haven't lost
really?
A pound. Yeah, yeah. And my blood sugar isn't any better. And this is where my mother would say, "Everybody's different." Listen, Kendall, Kendall, Aviva Vegas, Aviva Las Vegas, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Well, you guys can definitely check out my website. I'm going to be putting a lot more content on there. That's ktalknow.com, just like the letter K, ktalknow.com. And my email address, kendall@ktalknow.com. I would love to hear more about your journey, this Ozempic journey, because I'm very curious. And I've been denied. And I had a friend who was offered Wegovy. He said no. He didn't want the side effects. I want it. I want it. And they won't even give it to me. So I'm a little bit jealous of you, Walter.
Aviva Las Vegas, thank you for being on Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday inspired by career goals.
I want to be a gynecologist. If that's so, then I want good reasons why. You are the reason why, Miss Marquez.
Spelling every night. Study books, lusty books. Get cozy with the owl and dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and here's an excerpt from my book, The Hummingbird and the Hawk. Olivia wrapped her fingers around her mug and stared into its depths. I know I was teasing you a little about this celebratory trip, but glad you convinced me to go. I admit it's been a bit of an adjustment, working in a new office where so many things are approached differently from what I'm used to. Mirroring her posture, he studied her from across the table. From where I'm sitting, you seem to be adjusting just fine. I consider myself lucky that it's been a pretty smooth transition so far. Like I said, though, it's different. The atmosphere, vibes, whatever you want to call it. She glanced sideways at him. While everyone at the firm has been nice about helping me out, I suppose I should thank you for your extra efforts. No need to thank me. Gavin swallowed another mouthful of coffee. I'll state the obvious and say I've enjoyed working with you so far. Her shoulders shook when she snorted out a puff of laughter, and one side of her bathrobe fell open, exposing a wider expanse of bare skin. Maybe I should have been more specific and said, I appreciate your personal guidance on work-related matters whenever you're not trying to screw me. He shifted in his seat. Familiar cravings stirred inside him, and he debated whether to tamp them down. I haven't heard you complain about the last part yet. But, as I keep telling you, we're both passionate, ambitious people. We can work hard and play hard, as the saying goes. Olivia took a deep breath and let it out slowly. I'm not always great when it comes to vocalizing my feelings, but while I didn't expect to be in this situation with someone like you alongside my career move, I'm satisfied with my decisions. All of them. He was about to offer more dismissive platitudes or change the subject, but as he stared at her messy hair and minimal clothing, a better idea sprang to mind. Why don't you show me then? Her eyebrows shot up. What? Gavin made an exaggerated display of reclining farther in his chair. If you're so grateful to me for the weekend away, and introducing you to the better parts of criminal defense and so on, show me. Another burst of laughter erupted from her chest. You've got to be kidding me. Here? Now? Sure, why not? The thought of convincing her to push past her prior limits made him swell beneath his thick cotton robe. It's early in the morning, as we established, and there's no one around. Her eyes widened. There's a courtyard and a path, like, right below us. Someone could come outside at any minute. So, it's not like we're on the first floor. You can thank me again for my love for breathtaking views later. He flashed her his most charming smile. You are talking about all these fresh experiences, the changes in your perception. Why not do something wild and daring to solidify this new version of yourself? Olivia swirled the remnants of her coffee around in her mug. I hate how you do this to me, she muttered. He leaned to the side in an effort to re-enter her line of sight. I don't believe you. I don't think you hate this at all. The mug clattered against the glass table when she set it down. When she rose from her seat, Gavin half expected her to storm back inside. She stood in front of him, hands planted on her hips. "I suppose I should save my arguments for when they really matter," she said. "Since we have to leave soon, we might as well make this celebration memorable. I hope I don't detract too much from the scenic views." She knelt on the floor between his parted legs. Inching forward, she skimmed her hands up his thighs. Despite the heavy fabric of his bathrobe, her provocative touch sent another pulse of arousal straight through him. Part of him couldn't believe he'd convinced her to engage in any salacious activities out on the balcony, but he was determined to savor every second. Nimble fingers loosened the knot at his waist. She pushed aside the two halves of his robe, letting the cool morning air hit his flushed skin. He was ready for her. Olivia's fingertips floated up and down his skin with the faintest pressure. She leaned over, and her lips followed the same path, covering every inch of him with gentle kisses. Her warm breath danced all over him. From this position, she was in control. "Oh, I think I'd better stop there for tonight before we get into some trouble. But you know you can always have more." That was an excerpt from my book, The Hummingbird and the Hawk, which is available at Amazon in paperback and on Kindle Unlimited. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
Deja Vu is a strip club franchise with locations all over the U.S. of A. Their slogan is hundreds of beautiful girls and three ugly ones. Deja Vu in Chicago, they had a shooting the other day. Four people got shot. Club shut down by the city of Chicago. They go, "Not on our watch. We're not going to have strip club shootings in a beautiful place like this. Get your act together." Essentially, they're blaming the strip club. It's like blaming the guns for shootings. Arrest the bad guys. But I digress. A couple of days after it was shut down, Deja Vu was broken into, lots of damage done. What to do in the city of Chicago? The city of Chicago has more drive-bys than any major city in the USA. It is a crime-riddled hellhole. One of the few things that offered goodness and light besides church. And your synagogue or your Islamic community center, whichever religion you follow, it's fine with me. Okay, that being said, other than your house of worship, the only thing that brought Chicagoans joy was their strip club. And Deja Vu Strip Club was an absolute cornerstone of enjoyment of that city. Even bigger than that Chicago-style pizza. Even better and bigger than those amazing Chicago hot dogs. I stand up and salute law enforcement. I salute difficult decisions that a city hall has to make. But if you believe in justice and fairness, if you believe in liberty, please reopen Deja Vu soon. From the Champagne Room, it's Strippers on the Loose. I'm Velo Hool. Sterling Every Damn Night. I pray away to your day, Sterling Every Damn Night.